Hello, and thanks for listening to the Ordinary Philosophy Podcast. Here, you can listen to interviews and audio renditions of pieces published at Ordinary Philosophy's website, dedicated to philosophy in the public square and the history of ideas that change the world. For more about Ordinary Philosophy, and to see the photographs and the sources and inspiration for each piece, please visit ordinaryphilosophy.com. I'm Amy Cools, creator and editor of Ordinary Philosophy. And let me say, it's a pleasure to be with you again. It's been quite some time since I posted a new episode of this podcast. I had gone to a literary retreat. It was a wonderful thing, quite a treat, following the life and the great work of John Steinbeck, a favorite author who I used to read assiduously and had sadly neglected for maybe the last decade or so. So with a group of 23 dedicated fans of John Steinbeck, followed his life and ideas in the Monterey Bay and Salinas area of California. And in preparation for that, I was reading very heavily and rather neglected my own writing. And then I was away on the retreat. And afterward, I found I had stumbled into Poison Oak somewhere. And it kept me away from projects for a while. I was not able to sleep for about a week. Not very well, anyway. And the one last thing, I have been preparing for grad school, and I have been accepted at least to one of my top choices that I will almost certainly go to. There's a possibility that another school will come through that I also would be very thrilled to go to, and we'll see how that goes. One must weigh the pros and cons and financial considerations, all of that. Now I'll let you all know as soon as I do. But the preparations for applications for grad school, foreign language studies, etc., have also been consuming a huge amount of my time. So without further ado, here is episode 84, a little essay about the life and ideas of Michel de Montaigne. Michel de Montaigne, who lived from February 28, 1533, to September 13, 1592, was a thinker after my own heart. He was a deeply philosophical thinker, though he never developed a complete philosophical system or moral theory. He invented, or at least popularized, a revolutionary way of writing, the essay. In his essays, he wrote about anything and everything he found interesting enough to observe and to think deeply about, which was, well, just about everything, especially his inner life. His essays are a rich source of wonderful philosophical and moral insights. As a Stanford Encyclopedia of Philosophy describes, under the guise of innocuous anecdotes, Montaigne achieved the humanist revolution in philosophy. He moved from a conception of philosophy conceived of as theoretical science to a philosophy conceived of as a practice of free judgment. Judgment, in this sense, involves applying both our cultivated moral sense and our reason, enriched with knowledge, to navigating the complexity and variety of situations we face throughout our lives. It also refers to the expansive, tolerant attitude we should display toward each other and towards the whole of reality. While Montaigne highly valued education, he also recognized that it can be overemphasized to the detriment of learning from our own experiences. In his day, education often consisted largely, even mostly, of rote memorization of a vast quantity of facts. This method of learning can stifle our ability to exercise practical judgment and serve to blunt social skills as well, preventing us from learning from and about each other, which is essential for cultivating moral understanding. We should learn as much about the world and each other as possible, Montaigne thought, through interpersonal interaction as well as through more formal types of education. Montaigne also thought that sometimes our big, smart brains can even hinder our quest for wisdom. For example, we can become ashamed, insecure, even hateful of our own bodies when we contrast the refinements of education and the arts to the material, often messy, even disgusting reality of caring for the body and satisfying its needs. This distaste for our bodies is ungenerous and ungrateful, said Montaigne, considering how we rely on our bodies for so much. In fact, even to this Catholic Christian man who believed in the soul, we are our bodies in an essential way. Our bodies are much more than just the meat that our souls inhabit. They are intimate partners of souls, and together they comprise whole human beings. As such, our bodies deserve our compassion, gratitude, love, and respect. Our big brains can also make us too proud, unable to recognize wisdom in humble or unexpected places. Those of little or no education, Montaigne maintains, sometimes display more wisdom than the most rigorous scholar. This includes animals, who, especially, are sometimes wiser than we are. For example, they live their whole lives with the natural, unembarrassed, proper attitudes toward their own bodies that allows them to unapologetically enjoy the pleasure of being alive. Montaigne believed that we should learn from them and imitate them in this respect. Those who have the most wisdom to teach us, then, can come from all walks of life, and the wisest person will be receptive to the lessons that can be learned everywhere. Furthermore, we shouldn't limit our exposure merely to our own cultures, but should learn about as many other cultures and beliefs as possible. Montaigne, like Confucius, believed that before you can be a philosopher or a moral theorist, you must first be an anthropologist. A wide-ranging education and exposure to the world has two major advantages. First, the information you have to work with will be that much more vast, your scope much wider, than if you merely stuck to the received wisdom of your own culture. Secondly, you will cultivate in yourself the very virtues that characterize the wise and moral person: tolerance, benevolence, respect, kindness, generosity, understanding, and so forth. Conversely, narrowness of outlook and xenophobia lead to hatred, violence, and so on, as the horrific stories coming back from the conquest of the New World made him all too aware. Montaigne believed we shouldn't base our attitudes about right and wrong on habit, which is morally lazy and which a narrow education can easily lead us to do. Rather, we should temper our moral attitudes with reason, and our reason, in turn, should be informed by an expansive and ever-expanding body of knowledge. This can make Montaigne seem like a moral relativist, but I don't think that this is so. He was a committed Catholic, which seems to rule that out. Yet he did recognize that some things society traditionally regarded as wrong are in fact both bad and good, sometimes one or sometimes the other, depending on the circumstances, sometimes both at the same time. For example, consider drunkenness. It can be bad, such as when it gets you fired or leads you to violence. But it can also be good, such as promoting sociability or artistic disinhibition. Montaigne recognized that if there are universally true moral maxims, they're likely to be few. Rather, his approach to philosophy is a skeptical one. He recognized that an attitude of uncertainty and doubt is a fruitful one for gaining wisdom. When you don't easily accept the first answers that come along, when you're always waiting for more information to come in, when you generally accept that there's a possibility you are wrong, you are practicing a wise skepticism. Otherwise, you cheat yourself out of the opportunity to learn. Ethically, he espoused some behaviors as universally preferable, those that are inspired by tolerance, joyfulness, sociability, generosity, benevolence, curiosity, a good-humored attitude toward other people and their varied ways of living, and so on. He specifically denounced cruelty and narrowness in thinking and feeling. He described his ethical theory not by outlining a rigorous system, however, but by enacting and describing a moral attitude that inspires moral behavior in others. In sum, he may or may not be a relativist when it comes to a specific theory or set of maxims, but he is definitely not relativistic in the overarching value he places on the art of being a good, complete human being and of promoting the same in others. Montaigne's essays demonstrate that the most well-reasoned and advanced moral theory may never be quite as convincing, effective, or influential when spelled out as that which is lived out. Montaigne showed us how we can all be philosophers, how we can live ethically, and how we can discover it all for ourselves. Philosophers, if they're doing it right, will be the happiest of all people, since philosophy can and should be a joyful enterprise, and we should all be philosophers. Ordinary Philosophy's website and podcast are independent and ad-free, and depend on support from patrons and listeners like you. To find out more about how you can contribute to Ordinary Philosophy, please visit the subscribe, submit, and support page today. And if you enjoy what you read and hear at Ordinary Philosophy, please share with those you believe will enjoy it too, and take a moment to rate and review this podcast on iTunes. And as always, thank you so much for listening.